just in awe of your goodness this morning. We're just in awe of your presence. And God, we just thank you for being here in this room today. Thank you for all that you have done. God, as we recap this year, as we think about 2024 and how faithful you have been to us, so God. And so, Lord, today we just want to leave with a heart of gratitude and just remembering what the Lord has done in us. So we give you praise, and I give you, Lord, my lips as just an instrument, Lord. I'm just a vessel to be used, Lord God, by the hands of the Master. And Lord, we give you this time this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys had a good Christmas? All right. Amen. How many guys did absolutely nothing for Christmas, and that was like the best Christmas ever? Amen. So did we. It was nice just to not do anything. A lot of times we get out of town, we do this, we do that, but it was just nice to stay home, be with the kids, and do absolutely nothing. It was nice. I don't do that very often. If you know me, I'm a workaholic. I work from the time I get up to the time I go to sleep, pretty much. And but thank God we need those breaks. I mean, we need those times of rest. And so today we want to, this is not a new series, but this is a message in itself, and the title of this one is See What God Has Done. Amen. See what God has done. And we want to be looking at today at the Psalms, one of the Psalms, in Psalm 77 it is. And just to give you a little bit about the Psalms, and I love the Psalms because a lot of times you have these writers, these poets, who just express raw emotion, you know, and they express it to God. And so they know that they can take all of their problems, the way that they are feeling at that moment, and that God is able to handle all of those issues. And a lot of times you may feel like, well, I don't know if I can pray that to God. I don't know if I can say that to God. You can bear your heart before the Lord, and he hears those prayers. And so this psalm in Psalm 77, the first part of this psalm, it really is about a man. The writer of this is, by the way, his name is Asaph, if the way you would say it in Hebrew, Asaph. And so Asaph, he expresses just his grief, some of the things that he's gone through at the beginning of this psalm. But then it begins to shift, it begins to turn, and he begins to really thank God for all that he has done. And really the heart of this message, if you leave with nothing else, you know, we can choose to think about all the negative things that have happened in this year, and perhaps you're going through your own life, and you're thinking back of all the negative things that have happened to you, and we have had things that happen to us as pastors and whatnot, but you can choose to think about those things, or you can choose to be grateful and think about what God has done. And so if you leave with nothing else today, we hope that that is what you leave with. But we book of Psalms, chapter 77. And Asaph, his name means gatherer. And so he was a person. He was one of David's three top musicians. He was a man who was musical. And you know, he served during the time of David and during the time of Solomon, these great kings of Israel. Now, one of the very first times that we see this man, Asaph, is in 1 Chronicles 15, 16 through 19, where it says, "And David also commanded the chiefs of the Levites to put their brothers as singers, who should play loudly." How many guys can't play an instrument, but you feel that you can play loudly, right? Right, that was me, like whenever I first started drums. I couldn't play drums, but I can play loudly, right? I can make a bunch of noise. But he said that they should play loudly on musical instruments, on harps and lyres and cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. So this was one of the job descriptions of Asaph, was to make beautiful music unto the Lord. What an incredible responsibility it was, you know, to lead God's people in worship. And this was the man Asaph. And so looking at verse 1, he says, "I cry aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord." And this is a good thing to do in the day of your troubles, to not to seek after things, not to seek after alcohol or any such thing that would try to fill that void in your life. But when you find yourselves in trouble, you seek after the Lord. "In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. Selah. And whenever we see that word, Selah, in the text, we know that we are to think deeply about this, that we are to stop and to consider what is being said. So he says that whenever he thinks of God, that he's not even comforted. So whenever he thinks of God, he's only thinking of God in his justice, in his wrath, in his majesty, in all that he is, and that terrifies him. Now, at the same time, we ought to have a healthy fear of the Lord. I believe that. But he is in such a place, that's the only thing that he can think about when it refers to God. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in such a place where you're wondering, God, why are these things happening to me? God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? Why am I going through this right now? And all you see is God as this foreign God. You don't see him as your personal Lord and Savior. You see him as someone who is very distant, someone who is very far from you in your present time of trouble. And the temptation is to stay there and to dwell there and to think that God, he has left you and that he has abandoned you and that he has nothing to do with you anymore. That can be further from the truth. So when at this moment at the Psalms, when he remembers God, he moans. So he's thinking of God as only of judge and only of his wrath. In verse 4, he says, "You hold my eyelids open. I am troubled. I cannot even speak." Maybe the thoughts that are, you know, some of the things that you've endured, even this year, keeps you awake at night, much like the man Asaph in this particular psalm. He says, "You hold my eyelids open. I'm so troubled, I can't even speak." Then he says in verse 5, and really this is really the heart of it all, and this is where it begins to shift, it begins to turn. Instead of thinking of all his troubles, and instead of just meditating and dwelling on that constantly and forever, he says, "I consider the days of old." I consider the days of old. And the years long ago. And so oftentimes in our Christian walk, in our lives, in order to move forward in the things of God, in order to get yourself out of that slump or out of whatever it is that you're dealing with right now, you must remember the ways of the Lord. You remember, you bring back to memory all those things that God has done for you throughout the years and how he has been so faithful for you time and time again. And I think about how God has been faithful to this church time and time again, year after year, month after month. God's faithfulness has been there. He has never let us fall apart. He has held us together. I consider the days of old, the years long ago. And so he says in verse 6, he says, "I said, let me remember my song in the night." Perhaps you've known what that's like to, maybe you had a song, but the song has been snuffed out. Asaph says, "Let me remember that song in my heart, that joy of the Lord. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit made a diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever?" So now we have to bring all of this, all of our trials, all of our mountains that we face, anything, into juxtaposed to the very nature of God. So he begins to ask himself, he says, "Will the Lord spurn forever? Will he cast me aside forever? Is that the ways of the Lord? Is that the way that God treats his people forever? Are you forever distanced from God?" He goes on to say, "And never again be favorable? Will I never have the favor of God upon my life again? Is that the nature of God as well? Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up his compassion? Selah." So again, we are called to think about this passage. And maybe there have been some really trying times in your life and you felt like, "God, like I'm not experiencing the favor of God upon my life. I don't feel like I'm loved. I don't feel like God is coming through with his promises, and you feel these things, and you can hold on to these things. But again, bring them into juxtaposed to who God is. Is that part of his nature to abandon his people, to allow them to feel this way forever? Is that the nature of God? Absolutely not. In fact, we find in several verses throughout the Bible, I'm just going to read one. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." You felt unloved in seasons of your life? You felt like, God, where are you? In seasons of your life, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. And then looking at verse 31, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to abundance of his steadfast love." It won't last forever. There's a seasons. There are seasons that you go through, is what the Lord says to you this morning. You're going through a season. And 2024 may have been a difficult season for you. But how many guys know that seasons come and that seasons go? And it may have been a difficult season for you in 2024, but the Lord would say to you, there is a new season coming to you in 2025. Amen? There's a new season. And so we must remind ourselves of the very character of God. If he was faithful back then, he is faithful now. If he was present back then, he is very present now. If his love was steadfast then, his love is steadfast now. If his promises were yes and amen back then, his promises are yes and amen right now. If he was gracious back then he is gracious now. If he was compassionate back then, he is compassionate now. He remains to be who he is. There is no changing in our God. He remains to be who he is. He is a God of love. He is a God of steadfast love, unconditional love. He loves you no matter how many times you messed up, he still loves you. Where our love is so conditional, but God remains to be steadfast love to all of us. And so Asaph begins to think about the character and the nature of God. And so his spirit is starting to arise and his spirit is starting to awaken. He's starting to get a little excited because he knows that God is faithful. He knows that God is loving and that if God had brought him up to this point, that he is not going to abandon him in this very moment when he is experiencing trouble. Because that's the nature of our God. God, he might allow you to go through some difficult seasons, and he will. Your faith will be tested and must be tested in order for you to pass, in order for God to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," there must be a test. And so, yes, you will go through these difficult seasons, but Asaph begins to think of the character and the nature of our God. Then he says in verse 10, he says, "Then I said, I will appeal to this, to the years of the right hand of the Most High God." So not only does he consider the character and the nature of God, now he's beginning to turn his thoughts and his meditations to God's right hand. In other words, God's power. And how God had powerfully, time and time again, year and year after year, for thousands of years, proven himself as a faithful God to the Israelites, and how he brought them out of Egyptian slavery. He brought them through the desert and brought them into the land of Canaan, brought them to the promised land. He begins to consider the ways of God, the power of God. And so in verse 11, he says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord." And sometimes you have to stir yourself up in the same way. And you must say, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember what the Lord has done in my life. I will remember the time when I did not know Christ and I was a rebellious young man." Body, how he has saved my soul. I remember what the Lord has done. And I remember the fact that he set me free from an addiction. I remember the fact that he came through whenever the money was low. I remember whenever I was down and whenever I was outcast, and he lifted up my soul. He was there for me. He is God. He remains to be who he is. I choose to remember the deeds of the Lord. And it says, yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. And what God is great like our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. You, with your arm, redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. And I like this. In 16, he begins to say this. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Indeed, the deep trembled because of the mighty hand of God. Asaph begins to comfort himself with all the things that God had done for the Israelites. If you remember this story, how God had brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian slavery and brought them to the Red Sea. Now, he didn't bring them around the Red Sea, but he brought them to it in order to test them. And so this psalm is alluding to that, and how the waters, whenever God commanded the waters, that they had to obey. They must obey the master, and those waters begin to split. And the Israelites walked on dry ground. Now, that's amazing, right? I mean, if Bayou Terrebonne, or if Terrebonne Bay, rather, or the Gulf of Mexico, that's even better. If God would just speak a word, and the Gulf of Mexico would just split wide open, and where you were able to walk from Cocodrie all the way to Mexico, I mean, that would be an incredible thing, right? You would be like, wow, the Lord has opened up the Gulf so that I can walk on dry ground. That it is incredible. That is a miracle. And so Asaph begins to remind himself of the powerful God that we serve, that even nature has to obey the voice of our God. And how encouraging that must have been to Asaph as he thinks, wow, the God that I serve is able to speak to waters and they have to listen. So then you consider your own problems and you consider your own mountains and your own bodies of water, if you will, that you are facing, and you must think the same thing. God is able to bring me through it. Notice they had to go through it. They couldn't just stand that. They couldn't just stand there, but they had to go through the waters. They couldn't go around the waters. They must go through it, but God was with them. And so how encouraging this would have been to Asaph as he writes this. He says, the clouds poured out water, the skies gave forth. Now he's talking about how God began to fight for the Israelites, and God began to wipe out the Egyptians. He says, the crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightning has lighted up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea. A lot of times we don't like God's way, because God's way is through the sea, it's through adversity, it's through the trials, it's through the testings. It's not the path of least resistance, it is through the sea. Your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. What a God that we serve. Well, how mighty is he? And so at this point, after this point, no longer do you see Asaph complaining about all the former things that he was complaining about at the beginning. But rather you see contentment and satisfaction in the fact that God had brought him to where he was. That God had been faithful. His character is faithful. His deeds are mighty. He has proven himself over and over again to his people. He loves his people. He is committed with the work that he has begun in you. He is faithful to complete that very work. Amen. He will lead you and he will guide you. Verse 20 says, you led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So he's a good shepherd. He is committed to you. He is committed to leading you and guiding you. And so from this moment on, again, like I said, Asaph is content. He has a heart change, and we see that in this particular text. And I want you today to know that even though things may have happened in 2024, whatever it may have been, maybe you face some really big mountains, I want you today to think about the character and the nature of God. Will he leave you there? Will you endure this forever? Will he abandon you to do this on your own, to fight this battle on your own? No. He's a good God. He's a loving shepherd. He loves you. And so as Asaph begins to reflect on the deeds of the Lord, today, this morning, we want to do the same thing. And you guys, put your hands together and welcome up my wife as we, Hope Community Church, as we begin to think about the deeds of the Lord. Amen.
Amen. We want to give God praise in these minutes of what God has done here personally at Hope Community Church in 2024. And again, not thinking on, you can think on all these things, and I love the text, and it said, I have to take off my glasses because old age. And so it says, your path through the waters, yet your footprints were unseen. And I think so many times we don't see the Lord moving, and so we just sort of think, well, he isn't. But the Bible says that his footprints, that means that he's walked with us through whatever you have been through in 2024. And we just want to give some of the praise and the glory to God. And this year, and some of the things that have happened, we have 14 active small groups at Hope Community Church. By the grace of God, that has probably doubled. And we have added Mr. Melvin and Miss Grace White as a small group leader. Miss Ashley is leading the elderly group. The college age group, Amplify, has started back up with Lynn and Savannah. And the membership class has been going strong. In fact, if you want to be a member here at Hope Community next Sunday, just get a part, be a part. Say, in 2025, I'm going to be a part. I'm going to be a part of community. That starts every Sunday at 9:30. So those are some of the things. We also have the cooking ministry with Azure and Charlie leading. That's where we give out food to the people within our church. And then Miss Tammy leads food distribution, where we have given out, I don't even know how much food we have given out. It's been incredible. The amount of food that we have been able to bless this community that we serve. It's just been over. It has been like double, triple of what we've done any other year. Hope Abounds with Miss Azura. We have a reach team with 52 people. So 52 people are serving here in some capacity at Hope Community Church. That's incredible. From nursery to kids church to van drivers to the reach team, whatever. Those small group leaders, Momentum students. We were able to hire Lynn. Brother Pastor Lynn, for the students here in the summer. We have a parenting group with Miss Nicole McGuire, the Smith Small Group. We have morning time prayer every 9:30 with Mr. McKinley, and the Women of Hope Community and the Men of Hope Community. Those are our 14 small groups. In fact, we have a little, do we have the little QR code that you can throw up there for the small groups? You know, when I look at my 2025, I remember what the Lord has done, but I love vision. My pastor, and when I was in college, said, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. So if you're 24, 25, it's like, well, just see what happens. I don't know how that will go. You'll hit that every single time. I thought of an example this morning at the beginning of December. I was sitting in the youth room, and Pastor Lenny said, hey, I want you all to read through a gospel. So we, with our kids, have read through the gospel of Luke. Have we made it all the way? We have not. But we have made it halfway, because we shot at something and we said, we're going to read the gospel of Luke with our family, have discussion and prayer times. And we're like on chapter 10. And so like we have three more days. We're going to cram that in, y'all. And so, you know, what we're doing is we're shooting at something in your 2025 and saying, Lord, I remember what you have done. Let me go on with some of the things that God has done. We started the Church Center app. So this is the small group QR code. You could take out your phone right now and just commit and say, in 2025, I am going to be a part of one of those small groups. And you, they have the pictures. They have the description. Why why not be a part of community? Why not just come more than on a Sunday and say, look, I'm going to commit to being, maybe I can't do Wednesday nights. Those, some of the groups meet on Wednesday nights, but some of these meet outside on Friday night, Saturday morning, and you look at that and say, I'm going to commit myself to being a part of morning time prayer with Mr. McKinley. I'm going to show up at the church 30 minutes early and see what God will do. So you can scan that QR code right there. We also started the Church Center app, which now everybody is a part and connected. We did that. We started membership classes. We have, in case you didn't know, we received a grant that helped us to get Hope Park up and able in year 2024. Incredible. Just the Lord. This is what we're choosing to think on. The Lord just... Someone wrote, a volunteer nominated us for the grant. We wrote the grant, and by the grace of God, we were the only person in the state to win the grant from the Lowe's Foundation. And that's just a gift from the Lord. And then we wrote another one for, we've never in our lives won this stuff. And then in October, November, we got word we had written a grant for a brand new 15-passenger van, and we won it. And that day, someone brought in the check, and that afternoon, we have a brand new 15-passenger van. You know our vans were old, and so God has graced us with a brand new van to pick up people and just to continue the work of the Lord. We had 250 people here last week for Christmas service. 200, we counted. We had two services packed out. For Vacation Bible School this year, we had over 100 students hearing about the love of Jesus. Incredible. We had about 20 kids this year, little kids ages 7 to 11, that went to kids camp, and we had over 30 teens that went to teen camp over the summer, gave their life to the Lord. We saw salvation. We saw baptisms in the Holy Spirit. We are able to, we now have 10 missionaries that we support monthly right here from the east side of Houma. We added in 3 missionaries this year. This year, that's incredible. I love missions. We were able to add our friends, Candace and Stephen Crothers, who are ministering in Honduras. They are in a village in Honduras, and he runs airplanes to impoverished people. So we were able to start supporting them monthly. We were able to start supporting Pastor Moses. He is in Kenya, Africa, in the slums of Kenya, Africa. In fact, our kids' camp, VBS, was able to raise enough money to help build brand new bathrooms for his church. And this year, in 2024. We also added one of my students from when I was a youth pastor, Spencer Robinson, and his family are serving in Rwanda, and the Lord just gave us that funding. So your funding, what you give here at Hope Community, over 10% of that money goes straight into ministries around the world, not including the other 7 that we have always supported. In 2024, over 7,000 meals were served by this congregation as we partnered with 8 Days of Hope to help people after Hurricane Francine. 7,000 meals from this place. And so we're like, Asaph. I felt like he said that so correctly. Asaph. And so we are just rejoicing in what the Lord has done. He has been good. I encourage you, we have an assignment for you in these last couple of minutes before you leave and you look at 2025. Here's my encouragement. Go and write a list just like we did. We sat around at a table and we said, what has God done? Because sometimes you forget. It's easy to remember the bad, and we've had some things and some struggles in our personal family, in our church life. We've had some things that have hit us, that have come out of nowhere, and we're like, Lord, what is happening? It is easy to dwell on those things, but we must be like Asaph and say, Lord, I choose to dwell with you. I know that you are walking with me through it. So your assignment, if you choose to accept it in the next couple of minutes, is this: go write a list with your family. Go write a list personally. If you're just here by yourself, write a personal list. I used to do this all the time when I was single, and I was just loving on the Lord. Lord, this is what you have done. Take out a journal and write about the goodness of God. Then, as you're meditating on him and thinking on him, make some godly commitments for 2025. You know, there will be storms. there will be things that happen to you. But if you can make a commitment, and our theme for 2025 is building a firm foundation. The Bible says that storms will come, not if they come. The Bible says storms will come. We need to be ready for those storms. We need to be able to know that our God walks through with us all. So in your hands, as you leave the building this morning, we have made, for the first time in a very long time, it's sort of a Hope Community booklet. It's a pamphlet. It's very, very simple. Here's what it is. And we don't, if you have no intention of doing any of this, please don't take this, because this is like our hard sweat and tears, and it took us a while to make these for you guys. We will make as many as we need. But if you are saying, you know what, let me make a commitment. Let me say, Lord, what do you have for me in my 2025? And there are wonderful things like a table of contents. That's great. And so there's also a calendar, like a church calendar, and most of these dates will be followed. I already know Brother Andrew's coming at a different date, but other than that, all these dates help you make a commitment. Say, I'm not going to go on vacation while my kid could be at kids camp. My kid's going to kids camp. My teen is going to youth camp. Make those commitments. If there's a men's conference, a men's breakfast, put this on your calendar and commit your ways unto the Lord. Like Brother Freddie's coming. He coming Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. I'm going to be at all three. Make a commitment with your family because it grows. If we're fasting starting next Sunday, and we are, make a commitment and say, you know what? I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to walk with the Lord. In fact, in this is all the kind of ways that you can join every app, church center, all the different things. Follow us on media. They even have a become a member, how to become a member plan, how to serve, how to be a part of small groups. You have a QR code. It's wonderful. But I'm going to this in the service today. If you build your house on the solid rock that is Jesus, that's going to be coming through reading the Word of God. And this morning, I want to introduce our new Bible reading plan. I encourage you. I, as a pastor who cares about your soul, when these storms come, you need to know the Word of God. And so this commitment is very simple. It is a year of reading through the Bible with, somebody say with, Hope Community. Can I get that QR code for the Bible app one? So, yeah, that one will bring you right there. You can scan that QR code and it will join Hope Community. What is going to happen is on January 1st, we are going to start reading the Bible chronologically. Simply, that means in the order that it was written in time. Not every book will be in order. Now, it's in your booklet if you're like a written notes kind of person, which I am. If you're not a written notes kind of person, there are books on Amazon. I think you could even buy these at Walmart. It's called the Bible Recap. This is on a podcast, so once you join that QR code, they can. If you're like, I don't like reading, good, listen to it. I listen to the Bible. All this year, I've listened to the Bible. I was walking around the neighborhood yesterday. I'm just listening to the Bible, listening to the Word of God, and I listen to it out loud. I don't have earplugs in. I don't know why. I'm just telling my whole neighborhood about Jesus, and so I'm just walking and reading through the Word of God. So if you're a book kind of person, it even explains. I don't know what I read, and then it explains to you, this is what you read. This is some application that you can get out of it. So for 365 days, creating a space in this next couple of days that you have before 2025 sort and say, Lord, here's my grateful list. Here are the things I'm grateful for. And then start saying to the Lord, here are some of my commitments. Maybe reading through the Word of God. God, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. God, I'm going to show up at prayer at 9:30. God, I'm going to become a member. God, I'm going to use my 2025 to be intentional and develop a firm foundation. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? The binders are on stage. They're also at the welcome desk. But I guess 4 or 5 years ago, I started becoming very intentional with what I was doing in my next year. I started thinking about it. In fact, I'm sort of strange. I started thinking about it like Christmas Day. I was like, we were hanging out by ourselves. We had done all our family events. And I said, Lord, what do you want in my 2025? Lord, what is that? What do I need? God, what sin do I need to get out of my life? Lord, how is my walk with you? God, search my heart, God, and see if there's any wicked way on the inside of me. God, use our 2025. That became my heart. And so this morning, I pray that it would be your heart too, that you would remember all that God has done, that you would know that God is good and he's compassionate and he walks with you through every storm and every trial. And then say, Lord, this year is yours. Can we pray together? Dear Jesus, God, we commit this year to you. God, we give you our 2025. God, help us to build a firm foundation on you, the solid rock. God, that our lives would reflect you. God, that our lives would honor you, that our commitments that we make in this next couple of days, God, as we commit to fast, as we commit to pray together, as we commit, Lord, to show up, Lord, and be a part of community, as those things become a part of our lives, God, I'm so thankful that those little small steps are what build legacies and generational futures, Lord, for my life, for my family's life, for the life of this church, Lord God. God, that we would be committed to the Word of God, that we would be committed to being thankful and grateful and remembering all that you have done, Lord. We thank you that you are a God that walks with us. And God, like we sang this morning, that your love never fails. God, it never gives up on us. God, help us to walk out of the doors with that commitment. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Would you high five your neighbor? Grab one of these binders. They're at the welcome desk, but you're free to grab one of these. And we will see you next Sunday. No